Warming temps and heavy rains can spell trouble for your home. Don't wait for a problem. Get a free foundation inspection from PermaSeal. Stay dry, stay protected. For peace of mind, call 800-421-SEAL or visit permaseal.net.
It's over. Game over, man.
It's time for the Chicago Blackhawks postgame show.
Give me the postgame.
On the Blackhawks Radio Network, here's Jack Heinrich.
Tough one for the Hawks as we start the postgame show. 5-1 loss to the Blue Jackets in Columbus. We'll head back out to the Nationwide Arena and bring in Charlie Romeliotis before he has to run to the plane. I'm sure you guys might be a little late here. That was a... I've seen one third period like that in my three-ish years doing that. I think it was a couple years ago. Normally, when Joe was doing it, we would go down at the last timeout, and we just had to bail because they didn't call a timeout. So that, I haven't seen something like that in a while.
Yeah. By the way, do you want to talk about something, some positive news? Because this is the second time I am witnessing a proposal at center ice.
Oh, okay.
We just had one here at Nationwide Arena. We had one earlier. It was a few months ago at the United Center. So, man, that's twice this season we've seen a marriage proposal. This is great. Should we talk about that instead, Jack?
Maybe. Are they Blue Jackets fans?
They are Blue Jackets fans. We got a big celebration here from the fans that ended up waiting it out. But yeah, cool.
Yeah, that's how you do it. They get the 5-1 win. Unfortunately, it came against the Hawks, I guess it was first game back in 2 weeks. They outshot them, but they just couldn't get anything by them. I mean, Elvis Merzlikins was really good tonight.
Yeah. The tough part about it was, and obviously Columbus was in the same boat too, is that the Hawks had a lot of runway to get their legs. They had practice 2 days in a row before having an off day. Then they practiced again yesterday before flying to Columbus. Had a full morning skate today. So they had four really good skates to get their legs underneath them and regain the timing. But unfortunately, the Blackhawks just looked a little bit disoriented, especially in the first period. And then they were still in the hockey game going into the third, but things unraveled. And once Columbus got the fourth one, they quickly got the fifth, and that was the end of the game. But, yeah, I would have liked to have seen a better start for Chicago. I guess I'm not surprised that Columbus came out with a lot of juice because they did get three really important bodies back to their lineup in Kirill Marchenko, Dante Fabro, and their captain Boone Jenner. So they certainly came out here with a lot of energy and boost for the Blue Jackets in their home building.
Yeah, and that's what it seemed like. They just got a few goals and then they were just on their way. And then that goal by Werenski, I mean, that just kind of... I mean, that second goal in the second period kind of seemed like the backbreaker, but then Werenski gets that breakaway, and it kind of took the wind out of their sails, it seemed like.
Yeah, the last time I've seen a defenseman have a breakaway at their own blue line actually was probably Alex Vlasic last year. I feel like we've seen that. We saw that a couple times. But Zach Werenski, named the number one star of this hockey game, it was kind of unclear whether he was actually going to play in this game because he logged some really hard minutes for Team USA, and obviously they had the game on Thursday night, so it was a really quick turnaround for the Columbus Blue Jackets defenseman, and he was the best player on the ice for the Blue Jackets with a goal, two assists, logged only 23 minutes of ice time. His typical average is 26 minutes, so I think it was one of those things that they didn't want to overtax him in his first game back, but boy, he was noticeable. And so I have a vote for the NHL Major Awards, and right now it is going to be really hard for me not to vote for Zach Werenski as the Norris Trophy frontrunner.
Yeah, I mean, he was great with Team USA. I think he was their leading scorer in the tournament, and then he had, what, a three-point night tonight, so he just keeps right on rolling. Did anybody stand out for you for the Hawks tonight? It seemed kind of a quiet night on their end for all the forwards and all that.
Yeah, I would probably say Craig Smith, and I think... Mm-hmm. You know, no disrespect to Craig Smith, but if he's the guy that's jumping off the screen or off the page, it was probably a tough night for a lot of other players. Obviously, he scored the power play goal, but he also had five shots on goal, which led all skaters in this hockey game, and all five of them came in the first two periods of this game. So I thought he was noticeable. The fourth line was solid, but I think the top six, top nine, they have to perform better tomorrow in Toronto. We'll see if the lines stay the same or if Anders Sorensen tries to juggle things up. But not a great overall effort by the Blackhawks in their first game back from the break.
Yeah, disappointing too. I mean, they have been playing a little better. They've been getting to overtime. I mean, coming into this game, they were 3-3-4 in their last 10, getting points at least. And I know that was a big point of emphasis for them coming back in that and just being competitive. But hopefully they can bounce back tomorrow. I mean, they play good against the better teams. So maybe and get back on home ice. Maybe get some energy from the crowd tomorrow on a Sunday night Original Six.
Yeah, exactly. No, I know it is a funny point. It's really weird the way the Blackhawks have picked up wins against really strong teams. And so and Arvid Soderblom is going to get the start tomorrow, too, and he's been excellent in his career against the Maple Leafs. So the positive thing for Chicago is they're not going to have to sit on this very long. We're going to get on a flight right now. We're going to fly back home to Chicago, and they're going to get right back into action tomorrow night. So they can try to rectify the feeling that they had in this hockey game, knowing that they now have their legs through a first 60 minutes since the break. And we'll see if the Hawks have some energy coming into next game, especially on home ice.
Yep, that's hopefully, yeah. I mean, Soderblom had, I'm looking at his numbers now, he's 2-1 in his career. I mean, last year he played very well against them. This year he had 21 saves earlier in that in the season. So, hopefully they can bounce back. Soderblom's been good, get some good goaltending. Charlie, safe flight back. Make it on the plane. Hopefully I didn't keep you too long, and we'll see you tomorrow.
No, you're good. I see Frank Nazar just popped out of the Blackhawks tunnel, and he's saying his hellos to some fans in attendance. I know he went to college in Michigan, so it's
interesting.
Got the Michigan-Ohio State rivalry, but I see Frank. So Frank's not on the bus yet, so but I should probably get rolling. Thank you for filling in for me tonight. I know you got a long post-game show, but I'll see you tomorrow at the United Center.
Yeah, it sounds good. We got lots to talk about. Four Nations, Hawks, a lot of stuff happening.
Go.
All right, Charlie.
Yeah, something Seth Jones said too, maybe.
A little of that. little prospect Nick Lardis was playing, so.
There you go.
We got a lot to talk about. All right, Charlie.
Sounds good. Thanks, Jack.
All right, that's Charlie Meliotis. Did a great job on the color for Troy Murray. Little musical chairs I'm in for Charlie as we continue on this postgame show. And, yeah, just a tough one for the Hawks. Hoping for a little bit more of a competitive game there. It was 3-1 going into the third period, and as I said, throwing it to them to begin the third period is hoping for a little bit more of a better first 5 minutes of that third period. Maybe you get a goal and then you put some game pressure on the Blue Jackets. And like Charlie said, they're coming off a loss going into the break where they blew a multi-goal lead before that. So maybe you get that goal and doubt starts to creep into their head. But this Columbus Blue Jackets team's fighting for a playoff spot in the Eastern Conference right there with the Detroit Red Wings, both jockeying for position for that wild card spot. Right now the Red Wings got that spot barely, as John was saying, but that's going to be something to watch down the stretch with those two teams going at it. Both have 62 points, but as John said, one less game for Detroit puts them in that second wild card spot. Boston is right there as well at 60 points. The Red Wings and Blue Jackets are at 62, and the Senators at 62 as well. So a lot of teams in that race there for the Eastern Conference wild card going down to the wire here. But a tough one for the Hawks. They lose 5-1. In Columbus, Craig Smith, like Charlie said, had a nice game for the Hawks, getting that goal, having 5 shots on goal. He was tied with Connor Bedard for the leads in shot on goal. Hawks outshot Columbus 28-19, but struggled at even strength there for the Hawks. Columbus got some better chances, and really that third goal for Columbus got them going in that the second period. Mrazek couldn't. The Hawks kind of in like a semi change. Somebody's stick broke and they couldn't get the puck, and just a wide open lane for the Columbus Blue Jackets, and he was able to get the goal. And Mrazek couldn't get the stop on the glove side, unfortunately, there for the Hawks. And this is a big stretch for them going down here in these last 2 months. A lot to figure out. The trade deadline is looming, like we touched on a little bit in the pregame show, and we'll touch on more as this goes out, or as this goes along, as the show goes along, about some of the comments that Jones made earlier this week. He expressing a little bit of interest in maybe being traded to a contender. It's not really a formal request. Our pal Ben Pope at the Chicago Sun-Times wrote an article saying he hasn't had a formal request, but has been, his agent and the Hawks have been in talks about maybe a trade, and Seth Jones has the full movement, no movement clause in his contract, and he still has a contract going through 2030. And a cap hit of $9.5 million. So There's a lot going on here with this Hawks team. Does Ryan Donato get traded? He's on an expiring deal, and it could open ways for young guys to come up from Rockford. Maybe Colton Dock comes back up. Maybe we see Artem Levchinov later in the year. I think the Hawks would want to get a look at some of the young guys on this team up in the NHL, because nothing can replicate NHL experience and game experience, especially in a lower pressure environment where the Hawks are not going to make the playoffs this year and still in the rebuild. You can get them that NHL experience, play them with Connor Bedard, Frank Nazar, Landon Slaggart, other young guys and pieces, and start to see pieces of the core that can start forming together moving forward. So that's something to be looking for going forward. And then tomorrow, I mean, they're going right back at it against the Toronto Maple Leafs, and Arvid Soderblom has been good against them in his career in three outings, 2-1. And he was very good against them last year, was 2-0 against them. And that was the year Soderblom struggled. This year he's been very good, so eager to see him off the Four Nations break, see what he's worked on in those 2 weeks and getting back in between the pipes for the Blackhawks. We got more to get to here on the Blackhawks postgame show. We got sound rolling in from Columbus. We'll talk trade deadline, Four Nations, all that good stuff going up till 9:30 tonight here on 720 WGN. You're listening to Blackhawks Hockey on 720 WGN.
There's Vlasic with a shot. They score from the high slot. Alex Vlasic let it rip. The puck looked like it deflected in front of the Blue Jacket net. And in behind Merzlikins. They've taken the replay away from us here in the booth. So I'm going to have to just leave it as Vlasic's goal. The goal at 4:53 of period number two.
That was the only goal of the game for the Blackhawks as they fall 5-1 to the Columbus Blue Jackets in their first game in 2 weeks after the Four Nations face-off break. And, yeah, just a tough one for the Hawks, but Craig Smith had a very good day for the Hawks there, and he's been a solid player when he's battled injury a little bit this season. 5 shots on goal. He had the goal on the power play, assist from Alex Vlasic and Frank Nazar. But Alex Vlasic talked to the media after the game. Here's what he had to say.
How would you assess that game?
I think we had flashes of some decent hockey. I think in the second period we kind of jumped on them, but they're an opportunistic team, and I think anytime we kind of fell asleep or made a mistake, they capitalized. So call what you want for shaking off the rust, but I think they came ready to play, so there's no excuses for us.
What do you think was such a slow start?
Coming off of a 9-day, 10-day break, not playing any games, it's definitely for myself too. I found it a little challenging at first, just to get your legs under you and get back to game speed. But like I said, I think it's not an excuse to use, and we just didn't have the right mindset coming in.
When the goal gets waved off, that the Dart scores right after they score, that kind of demoralizing when you think you've just answered right back and it's taken away like that.
A little bit, yeah. I think. For us, it gave us a little bit of momentum, honestly, just to keep chugging along and knowing that we're right there. So we can't use that as a way to kind of, hurt our feelings or get us down if, the calls don't go our way. I think we just got to stick to our game a little bit more.
How have you gotten more comfortable on the point on the power play since the start of the year?
I feel good. I think, today, great tip by Smitty. I just kind of, I think for our unit, we're out there with 30 seconds or less, so where we have a big emphasis on just kind of throwing things to the net and try to create some havoc there. But I feel good, and there's definitely that offensive side of my game I'm trying to explore a little bit more.
Turning around and playing tomorrow, is that a challenge after a long break to play 2 games, 2 days like that?
I think it has its pros and cons. I think, it's definitely a little tiring, but I think it's good. We can kind of push this game to the side and just worry about the next one tomorrow and come ready and, more prepared to play.
Okay. Anything you worked on this week in practice that you feel like either worked tonight or didn't translate?
We've been trying to have a big emphasis on keeping our D down low in the battle in the offensive zone and trying to not let them have too much room to breathe when they get the puck, the wingers on the wall. So I think there were some good examples of it tonight and some examples where we didn't have the proper coverage for a defenseman that we're jumping down. I think we gave up a few too many odd man rushes. So something to work on for sure.
That Merzlikins kind of baseball catch, does that just make you kind of throw up your hands like, well, if we can't get that, come on?
I mean, I don't know. I kind of, you know, Reichel was offside, so I don't think it was going to count anyway. But, yeah, I don't think it really had too much to impact the game.
Yeah, that Elvers vs. Lincoln save that Alex Plastic was asked about, he was, like, out between the two face-off dots, and then the Hawks tried to chip in. Reichel was offside, so the goal wouldn't have counted, but he started skating backwards and kind of falling backwards, made a catch like an outfielder in baseball, battling the sun and then kind of falling down and making the catch. That's kind of what it looked like. I'm sure it's all over Twitter. You can find it there. But Elvis Merz Lincoln's was very good tonight for the Columbus Blue Jackets. Hawks had, out as we said, outshot Columbus, but he was able to stop 27 of 28 shots. And he made some spectacular saves in the first and second periods where the Hawks could have made this game a little closer going into the third, but unfortunately couldn't make it closer. And he was very good, and he got dinged up at the end of the game too. Looked like one of his teammates landed on top of him. He's grabbing his back, but he was all right. 21 saves on 28 shots. Let one power play go through, but Merz Lincoln's was very good tonight for Columbus and made it hard for the Blackhawks to really get anything going. He's been very good this year as well. Got 19 wins on the season with a 2.99 goals against. So he's been very good, a 30-year-old. But like John said, relatively untested in the playoff realm. So it'll be interesting to see what Columbus does at the trade deadline, if they're still hanging around that spot with the Red Wings. But I like what Alex Vlasic was saying. He acknowledged that it was a little tough to get going in that first period. I think you could tell by the pace of play and way John and Charlie were calling it a little sloppy, these teams getting back into it. But I thought Charlie brought up an interesting point, saying that the Hawks did have a pretty good ramp-up period. It was kind of like a preseason practice period. They practiced Tuesday, Wednesday, off Thursday. They practiced Friday before flying to Columbus, and they had a full morning skate today. So it seemed like they had a lot of practice time, but it is different from the game, and we saw that today, just struggling to get anything going. And he said it was an excuse. I like that he's not using that as an excuse. And I do like him getting on the power play when he's rushed towards, when he's led the rush. He's been very good this year. Even on 5-on-5, he's done very well. And John and Troy talked about that, liking to see him do that more. So he picks up an assist, the primary assist on Craig Smith's goal for the Hawks. I get on the board on the power play. So he's getting more comfortable on the penalty or on the power play and leading that second unit. And this is Vlasic's a guy that's a key piece going forward. The Hawks got a lot of young defensemen, and it seems like Vlasic might be the leader of that. Already in the NHL, already locked up to a long-term deal as well by the Hawks. And we'll see what he can do. He was on Team USA's radar in the Four Nations, so maybe some more international play coming for Alex Vlasic, who had the assist on the Craig Smith goal. Craig Smith also met with the media. Let's hear what he had to say.
Nobody thought there'd be too much rust, but did it feel once you get out there that it was, you know, that those 2 weeks were felt?
Yeah, I don't think that'd be unusual just to get into a game and you know, for your eyes to adjust and just to get prepared for being in a big building again. And I think that's there's always just a little bit of an adjustment for everybody individually, but I don't think it's an excuse. You know, we're play a lot of games this year, so you know, just continue forward and prepare the same way that you have been.
Yeah, how would you assess the team performance?
It's frustrating, you know, especially, you know, coming off the break there and a couple of days of practice and, you know, what we kind of prepared ourselves to do. And, you know, it's tough. It's the way it goes, but it's frustrating. It's unacceptable. It's embarrassing to a certain point. It's getting embarrassing. So, you know, we have to continue. You know, dig deep personally, I think, before every game. And that preparation starts the day before the game and what we're doing, how we practice, things that are said, how you eat, how you get up. You can't just turn it on when you get to the rink. I think this is, it's a 48-hour game, and whoever's prepared the most to come to the rink and you do what it takes to win. That's a mindset.
Seemed like practice was a little sloppy yesterday, and Anders was getting on you guys for that. Do you feel like that kind of carried over into today?
I think it can. Yeah, for sure. That's the frustrating part about it. And, you know, I'm not. It's frustrating because you have to be sharp at all times. It's the best league in the world. You know, if you're not prepared the right way, especially individually, I think, you know, you get yourself into tough situations, you know, like tonight. So, good thing is we have a game tomorrow, and, you know, we have a chance to turn things around, get a good feeling in before we go on the road.
There's going to be a lot of games like this where you guys want the 2 points, but the other team needs the 2 points. How do you match a playoff-pushing team's intensity night after night?
Like I said, it starts the day before. But again, individually, we need individual success in here to win. Every great team does. Each guy's got to do what they do best. You kind of recreate your greatness every year. And, you know, this is the time to step up and do it for the last year. So many games we got. You know, if we have individual guys going out there and, you know, playing as a team, but playing ball within their own game, you know, we're going to have success.
What worked well between you and Vlasic on your tip-in?
He kind of climbed the – he walked the blue line before, and we had kind of an eyeball contact there. And I think he just wanted to see how much would open up, you know, when he walked the line. And, you know, when he came back the other way, he was on his forehand, and he was able to get a clean look.
And then Lester was saying that Reichel was offsides with that Merzlikins catch. What was going through your mind when you kind of made that baseball catch on?
I was pretty excited when I got the puck. He was way out of the net, but he made a good grab. It probably would have been offsides anyway. So it's you know, I don't even know if it was going in.
Yeah,
I don't know. I mean, at that point, I mean, there was a lot of bodies in front of me. You know, we're trying to get the puck in and just send some crap to their net and see what happens. But that was a good grab by him, but it probably would have been offsides anyways.
Yeah, I can't say for sure what was going in, but it looked cool.
Yeah, I guess the crowd got excited if it wasn't going in, but, you know, good grab on him.
Thanks, John. Thank you.
There's Craig Smith. Good to hear him laugh. It seemed like he was not happy with the performance, and I liked some of the stuff he's saying that it's embarrassing. And a lot of the Hawks guys have said the right things in the locker room and after practice, before games, after games, when they've had tough losses this season. It's just, I guess, the growing pains of the rebuild, struggling to put consistent efforts forward, even if this team is a little bit more veteran than it has been in the past. He said it's been embarrassing, so hopefully they can bounce back, and they do have a game tomorrow, so they could just get rid of that bad taste in their mouth. I did think it was interesting him saying it starts with how you prepare before, the day before, how you get up, how you act throughout the day of a game day and morning skate and all that. So it is more than just game day going into it and working towards that and getting ready. And there's some young guys on this team. Connor Bedard's in his second year. Frank Nazar. Getting his first extended look in the NHL. Landon Slaggard as well. He had some time last year, but this is really his first extended look in the NHL. So these guys are learning how to bring it every single day and working through that and trying to build winning habits. And that's the big thing that Nick Foligno's harped on. They had Anders Sorensen got on them at practice because he didn't like the way they're practicing. And you heard the questions asked at the practicing did not go particularly very clean, and maybe that led to some that first period being a little sloppy. Like Craig Smith said, that can lead to that. So hopefully they take this going on that flight back, and then they just leave it on that flight back, and then you got to turn the page to Toronto coming in, who had a 6-3 win tonight over Carolina. And I saw a note in there that Carolina was going to the stadium in Toronto, but they had a traffic jam, so they got off the bus and actually walked part of it to the stadium, which is interesting. And then Toronto handles them 6-3. So the Hawks coming into Chicago off a high. Original six matchup, always fun at the United Center. Arvid Soderblom has played well against the Toronto Maple Leafs in his career, so hopefully he can keep that rolling, have a good performance, and the Hawks can get an early goal and get the UC rocking on a Sunday night, starting at 6:00. And those games are always very fun when it's the original six battle. We got more to get to here on the Blackhawks postgame show. Save the game. We'll hear from Anders Sorensen after this loss. And we'll talk a little trade talk. Seth Jones met the media this week talking about the trade rumors. We'll talk about him, Ryan Donato, maybe getting some around the league, some prospect stuff as we're taking you up to 9:30 here on the Blackhawks postgame show. You're listening to Blackhawks Hockey on 720 WGN.
Martinez high slot to Jones, bottom of the left wing circle. He turns and bats it toward the net, swept out of there by Merzlikins. And then Foligno from the right point tried to lift it in deep. Now it's taken away by Foligno. to Teravainen and to Foligno in front. He couldn't get a clean shot away. Merzlikins laid down on his belly and spread his pads. But he's lost his goal stick, has Merzlikins. Here now in front of the net, Foligno takes a pass, trying to jab it on goal. In comes Mikheyev came in to try and jab it into the net, and it's kicked out of there by Merzlikins again. What a performance he's putting on the Columbus net.
That was tonight's Save of the Game, and the Save of the Game is sponsored by the ComEd Energy Efficiency Program. Learn more at comed.com/poweringbiz. Yeah, Elvis Merzlikins, very impressive tonight in net for the Columbus Blue Jackets, saving 27 of 28 shots, and that sequence there saved three in a row in about 30 seconds of play, and he got injured in that play as well, but stayed in the game, finished out the game, showing some toughness. He was very good for Columbus tonight, made a couple highlight real saves early on in the game to keep the Hawks off the board, and then they got that one in the second period. But he made a couple, two, three grade-A chances and was able to keep the Hawks off the board. Peter Mrazek. Arvid starting tomorrow. Peter Mrazek got 16 saves on 21 shots, a tough one there. He gave up a few goals there in that third period when it was 3-1. I had that one in the second period where he got beat glove side and wasn't able to stop that one there. A tough one there for the Hawks as they're coming off this Four Nations break and trying to get their legs under them. As Craig Smith and Alex Vlasic said, it's not an excuse, but you could tell they hadn't played hockey, a competitive hockey game in a couple of weeks, except for Teuvo Teravainen, who did play in the Four Nations faceoff for the Hawks in the Four Nations faceoff for the Hawks playing in a couple games. His team did not make it to the final there. And, yeah, 5-1 loss for the Hawks. Anders Sorensen met the media after this game. Let's hear what he had to say.
How do you assess that performance?
I thought the first so-and-so, right, a little rusty. And then I thought the second period, I thought we did some really good things. Unfortunately, come out of that one still down two, right? And then I thought in the third here we made a push. He made some big saves there and was 3-1, and then they come right back and then get the fourth one, and the wind took out of our sails a little bit.
Craig Smith was saying that it's kind of a 48-hour thing each game to be prepared, and I know practice was a little sloppy yesterday. Do you feel like there was some more of that carried over into today?
Well, I don't know if it was that or if it was just a rust from not playing, but I did think we got better in the second, right? But, yeah, I mean, we got to be, you know, it's a tough league. You got to be ready to play. You got to be knowing what your assignments are and knowing the little things that you talk about. And at times, especially in the first, we didn't do that.
Plastic also mentioned getting your legs back.
Yeah.
Is there some of that?
Yeah, I mean, they're right. I mean, both teams had the same situation, right? And again, I thought the second period we were much better.
You've got a lot of games coming up against teams that need the 2 points every night. How do you match that intensity when, you know, there's nothing other than pride?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a good question. You have pride, right? You have pride as a player. You have pride as a group, right? And again, let's be honest here. Like, there's a lot of guys that are, you know, you're playing for your future here. If it's with us or somewhere else, whatever, you got to be ready to go, right? It's a business, and that's kind of where it's at. You have to take pride in what you're doing, right? I don't think it should matter where you are in the standings at this point. You got to take pride in what you're doing if you're a pro, right? I think that's the biggest part of it.
Question, but on that fourth goal, the Werenski breakaway,
yeah,
when all five guys were caught deep, what would you like to see differently in that situation?
Well, yeah, you said it, all five guys got caught deep, right? I thought we had some good possession there, and then they're a man team, so they're following their guys around, right? And we had opportunities to shoot, we didn't, we passed it off, then we get our shot blocked, and we end up with basically all five guys below them, and then Werenski just takes off, right? So obviously we will have to have better laters there and have recognition of where we are on the ice in that situation, especially when it's only 3-1 game, right, at that point. So, you know, we had some opportunities there, so let's be a little bit smarter.
Did you consider a challenge on the Bedard goal that was waved off?
We did. We got kind of rushed in a little bit. They didn't come and give us an explanation why. We actually thought it was a kick in motion first, and then he came over after we called him over and said that it was a goal interference, and we needed to make a decision quickly. So the way our challenges have been going lately is they call it no goal. It happened a couple of times. It seems to be hard to revert those. And then looking back at it, I think it would have not. We would have lost the challenge. Yeah.
Is that still like a kind of demoralizing moment, though?
I don't think so. It's early in the game, right? It's 1-0 game. So I think it's too early for that, yeah.
That was Anders Sorensen after the Hawks 5-1 loss. Interesting there on the challenge. That feels so long ago with back in that first period. It seemed like Bedard maybe did bump into Merz Lincolns, but as Charlie was talking, maybe that occurred after the puck was already going in the net. And that makes sense there why they didn't challenge it. If they thought it was a kicking motion and they got it late and then they were scrambling quick and they didn't get a good look at it, and you don't want to risk that, because if you don't get it, then you got to kill off a penalty after already being down 1-0. You don't want to get more, you don't want to go down more early in that game, go down by 2 goals and then feel like you're really trying to play from behind and behind the 8-ball there. So that makes sense. He did acknowledge the break. They looked better in the second period, but gave up those 2 goals and they weren't able to get going there. Unfortunate result for the Hawks, as they were playing better coming into this game before the 2-week break. More competitive, 3-3-4 in their last 10 coming in, getting a win against the Predators, a nice win at the United Center 6-2, and then a 10-round shootout loss to the Blues. That was crazy before the Four Nations break, and then having this one come out is kind of tough for the Hawks, a tough one to swallow. But some of the news that kind of broke during this week, with the trade deadline coming in the first week of March, and the Hawks returning to practice, is Seth Jones coming. The rumors kind of, I guess, becoming more. I'm not saying it, like Charlie said, it's probably still a surprise if he gets moved, but there's a little bit more like, oh, like this could happen type feel now that it's kind of out there. Ben Pope from the Chicago Sun-Times, who also helped us out getting that sound, I appreciate that very much on this long post-game show here after the 5-1 loss, but he wrote a story about in the Chicago Sun-Times about Seth Jones and his agent having talks with Kyle Davidson about a potential move. It would be complex. There's a lot of money owed to Seth Jones, 9.5 cap hit through the 2029-30 season. Like Charlie said, it might be more of an off-season move, but now it's kind of been floated out there, and Seth has addressed it to the media. I think he spoke Thursday or the day before, or Friday somewhere, or not Thursday, they didn't practice Thursday, but Friday he met with the media. So we have that sound. Let's hear what Seth Jones had to say about the trade rumors.
We saw, obviously, what you said about being exploring a trade. What, I guess, where's your mind at? Where, I guess, where did it get to this point where you're opening this idea?
I'm good, yeah. Well, you know, obviously, this is my fourth year here, and, you know, I'm not going to go through kind of the whole process of when I sign and whatnot, but, you know, just looking at kind of where I'm at, you know, 30 years old, and you were there, and good years ahead. I want to, you know, hope maybe be in a situation where I'm competing for a Stanley Cup, and at least, you know, playing meaningful games in you know, Maine, hopefully. So, you know, that's sort of where I'm at right now. You know, discussions with the agent and things like that have been going on, and, you know, obviously, you know, there's a lot of moving parts to something like this, but that's where it is right now.
Are you hopeful for this season, or do you have a timeline for, I guess, your expectations?
You know, it's hard to put a finger on it, right? So if it happens in the next two weeks, if it happens, you know, so summer, it's later on, that's what it is. You know, obviously, you know, I have a full no move and I do control it, but you know, at the same time, we only control so much. But yeah, as long as I'm here as a Blackhawk, I'm going to give 100% of my third max every night, and you know, try to help this team get better.
With winning, go to a winning team, do you have other criteria that you want aside from like going to a contender? Or, and obviously, it's not just for this run, but it, you know, obviously you have a lot of years left in your contract too. Do you have certain criteria you're looking for
between a trip and a vacation?
Not really. I mean, it's kind of a hard question to answer. I think to you know, put it in, you know, a bigger form, I think I just want to compete in the playoffs every year and give myself an opportunity to play meaningful games. You know, whether that's, you know, this year, next year, after, whatever it is, but a team that's you know, not in a rebuild, that has pieces already to it, that's ready to go. That's kind of what I'm same I've been. You know, I just come to work every day. You know, with a great attitude, with a good mindset. Like I said, as long as I'm in the slot, locker room. I'm going to do what I can to make this team better. Every single night, whether it's practice or one game. So
literally, just get our sign.
And when something happens, it happens. If it doesn't, then 100% of my efforts.
Shouldn't ask you this the other day, but is there a reason why this has been talked about now, or have you talked about it in previous years? Is there something that's changed?
You know, it's been thrown around, just having a conversation with my agent, you know, four time now, but, you know, I think it's something that we just wanted to get in front of, you know, just kind of push the needle a little bit more.
If this turns with this group and you're still here, do you see the potential of wanting to be a part of something that, you know, in a year or two that's successful here?
Yeah, I mean, I've been here the last 4 years, you know, through probably the darkest times of the Blackhawks I've seen in a while, and, you know, hopefully, you know, I think things are moving up, they are moving forward. But, you know, I think my timeline might be different than Kyle Norms and the Blackhawks. So there's nothing against anybody, not holding it against anybody, what they decided to do here. But, you know, sometimes it's not in everyone's plans.
Seth Jones earlier this week at practice addressing those trade rumors. He was very open. I give him credit for that. Very honest in what he was saying. And he wants to play competitive hockey. And when he came here, like he said, he didn't really want to get into it. But when he came here, it was a last kind of ditch effort for the Hawks to try to push all their chips in and win again with Patrick Kane. They signed Marc-Andre Fleury. They bring a couple other pieces in. They get Seth Jones, a young defenseman, lock him up long term. And they try to make this push. And that season didn't go well for the Hawks. And then they start the rebuild. And he signs with the previous regime, and then Kyle Davidson comes in, so it's a little different there. And like he said, he's still going to give 100% when he's here, which is that's good to hear. And you want him to be present during this time and while they're trying to figure that all out. And it'd be a complex deal for the Hawks. He's getting 9.5 cap hit all the way through the 2029-30 season. The Hawks would have to eat some of that. If they eat 50%, then they're leaving one of their retaining slots for salary on their books. They're using that up through 2029, so it's very complex. But if they do eat some money, they should get a pretty good return, because you look at Seth Jones as like a $4 million player, $5 million player. You look at Seth Jones, and it's been said he's a very he's a good hockey player. He's probably just a little overpaid. So if a contending team can get him on a deal like that, where it's $5 million a year, the Hawks could get something pretty good for him, you would think, on the open market. But whether that comes together here in the next couple weeks, remains to be seen. If there's a team that really needs a defenseman and some help in that category, maybe the Hawks can help facilitate that. But like Seth Jones said, he does have a full no movement clause in his contract, so he can control where he wants to go, and that's what you get when you get the right to earn that kind of contract, and you get that right in his contract, and that's no fault to him. I mean, that's something a player wants, is to control where they are, and he got to that point, was able to get paid and get that no movement, so he can kind of control where he ends up. And so it'll be probably a lot of back and forth with him and his agent and with the Hawks higher up, and like he said, he's been in contact with them, and he just might be on a little bit different of a timeline with them for the Hawks and where they're going in the rebuild. But I do think that answer to that last question is interesting, where he's saying, I think he's asked by Scott Powers from The Athletic, like, if you stay, like, do you think they can win? And he said, yeah, I mean, I've been here the last 4 years. It's been tough, but he does see that pipeline that the Hawks have and some of these young guys coming up. Obviously, he's played with Connor Bedard the last year and a half, so he sees some good production on the way, and he said he'd be open to staying because he can see that light at the end of the tunnel. So it is interesting to see. It's always been tossed around. I mean, he's a very polarizing player amongst Blackhawks fans, just based on the contract he got. And I think Charlie brought this up a couple weeks ago, a month ago, when we're on Blackhawks Live, saying that he never really got fully embraced by the city, just because when he came in, it was kind of the end of an era. With Kane and Taves and saying goodbye to them. And it was a weird spot to come in and become a high paid player on this Blackhawks team. And he's been good for the Hawks. It has been up and down. I mean, the team has been in the rebuild, so it's hard to really look at the numbers and Think that that's just the absolute truth. But when you watch when he's been injured, the Hawks have really struggled just because he's that presence, that consistent presence on the ice, and he does so much for them there as well. So it will be interesting to follow. Also with Ryan Donato, he's another one that's kind of creeping up there in the trade talks. On expiring deal, having a career season, he's been awesome this season, just super steady. He's played on every line, every spot in the lineup. He's played left wing, right wing, center, fourth line, first power play. He's been all over, and he's just been rock solid. It's been cool to see on the second year of a two-year deal with the Hawks. So maybe a contending team, they would love somebody like that who's very versatile and can play in a bunch of different roles, and you know what you're going to get from him every night, just super consistent and just a great pro, and he's having a great year producing, and he could maybe parlay that into a nice contract next year. But maybe this is the guy the Hawks maybe want to re-sign. We've seen with Nick Foligno and Jason Dickinson, two guys that have come in and played very well, and the Hawks have extended them for a couple years while they get through this rebuild, and Nick Foligno becomes the captain right now. So we'll see what the Hawks decide to do with Ryan Donato. I think with his value, I think they should explore what they could get for him. You never know what could happen between now and the trade deadline with some contending teams, and they always want depth, and he can supply that. If there's somebody that goes down, then maybe a team can give you a good piece, a second-round pick or something like that, and you're able to get him back, able to get back value for him going from the top value. So hopefully the Hawks can figure that out, and it's going to be an interesting couple weeks with these teams playing for a trade line. We got a text wondering where Troy Murray was. Troy was on the TV side filling in there. Charlie slid into his seat, and then I'm Jack Heinrich filling in for Charlie Romeliotis. Recapping a tough 5-1 loss for the Blackhawks, and they get back at it tomorrow against the Toronto Maple Leafs. Hopefully a better result. They played well against better teams, and hopefully they can get a better result tomorrow at the UC pregame at 5:30. We got more to get to here on the Blackhawks postgame show. We'll get through some out-of-towns and look around the league when we come back. You listen to Blackhawks Hockey on 720 WGN. Final stop here on the Blackhawks postgame show. Blackhawks fall to the Columbus Blue Jackets 5-1. Tough one for the Hawks coming out of the break. They're right back at it tomorrow against the Toronto Maple Leafs. We'll look around the NHL here tonight. Busy slate. 13 other games. We will start in Nashville.
Got around Forsberg. Back to the Nashville zone. Shen for Marchessault. Marchessault swings it over to his left. Here's Roman Josi. Back for Shen. Shot misses. Marchessault scores on the rebound off the end board. Marchessault picks it up off the end board. The Predators have their first lead of the game. It's 2-1.
Jonathan Marchessault, that ended up being the game winner. Connor McGehee on Altitude Sports there. Nashville gets the win 2-1 over the Avalanche. They win that game despite being outshot 32-17. So the Preds, a disappointing year, but they get a win coming out of the four seasons break. Let's go to Detroit.
Sherratt with the power play expiring. Back to Gustafson. His pass stolen. Out of the box is Rossi. Eriksson Ek finds him. It's a clean break. Rossi and a little Talbot. Fans on his shot. Got it back. And he scores! Marco Rossi wins it in overtime! And the Wild come all the way back in Detroit. They stun the Red Wings 4-3.
A big win for Minnesota, getting the overtime win. They come back from a 2-0 deficit and a 3-1 deficit to get the win. Loss for Detroit. They are now virtually tied with Columbus, who just beat the Hawks, and they are able to, or they're tied now in that for that last playoff spot. So 4-3 win for the Minnesota Wild. Coming back, Marco Rossi, credit to ESPN for that call. Let's head to Philadelphia.
He'll give it up. Janmark skates by a man stripped of the puck. Philadelphia on a loose puck. Tippett gets it ahead. Here's Michkov going to the net. In front, they score! What a setup! Michkov, another helper, sets up Owen Tippett for his 16th of the year. And the Flyers take the lead again for the third time in the game. It's 4-3.
Tim Saunders on the Flyers broadcast network. A back-and-forth game, but the Flyers pull away and get a 6-3 win over the Oilers, outshooting them 32-18. Earlier today, we will head to Buffalo.
Score! Jokke Haru, the late man into the zone, makes it 8-2 with 35 seconds remaining. He had not scored a goal in the last 35 games with the Sabres, although he did score the only goal for Finland against the United States last week.
That was Kenny Albert there on the call. Yeah, big first period for the Sabres. 5 goals in the first period over the Rangers. And as Charlie said, a lot of Rangers played in the Four Nations faceoff, so they all come back in a quick turnaround after that championship game. And a tough one for them. 8-2 in Buffalo, they lose. Let's head over to Pittsburgh.
On down to Letang. We'll bring it to the top of the left circle. And banked off of Roy and down ice. After it for a scoring chance. Here's Duhaime. Comes in, shoots, and scores! Brandon Duhaime gets by Letang and scores on the goaltender Blomqvist. And with 2:41 to go, it's an Ocho on the board here in Pittsburgh. It's 8-3.
John Walton there on the Capitals Radio Network. Yeah, 8 goals for the Capitals. 8-3 win over the Penguins, a big-time win there. Other scores from around the NHL. The Kraken beat the Panthers 2-1. The Stars win 4-2 in New Jersey over the Devils. And then Boston falls in overtime. They come back. We're able to tie that game, but the Ducks get a 3-2 win in overtime. The Canadiens beat the Ottawa Senators 5-2. Brady Tkachuk not playing in that one. Let's head to Detroit, the Hawks' next game.
Works back on the right wing boards, down into the goal line area, centered in front, Tavares scores! 4-0 Toronto! And Johnny Toronto is on the score sheet with a goal!
Should say Toronto. It's been a long post-game show. Hawks hosting the Maple Leafs tomorrow night at the United Center. 5:30 pregame, just like today. 6 o'clock puck drop. Everybody should be back in their positions. Charlie back pre-post intermissions, and then John and Troy back for the first time after the break. Yeah, the big win for the Maple Leafs, a 6-3 win. Auston Matthews scores. They get the win over the Hurricanes at home. And yeah, they're coming in. Arvid Soderblom has good numbers against them, 2-1 in his career. Was very good against them last year. Only he allowed 4 goals in 2 games last year. Yeah, 4 goals in 2 games last year. He gave up 4 goals or 3 goals earlier this season. But he's had good career numbers, and Anders Sorensen said before the game that did factor into his decision to start Arvid Soderblom tomorrow instead of tonight coming out of the break. Blackhawks hockey has been sponsored by Plumbers 911 Chicago, where they do it right the first time, your Chicago and Northwest Indiana Hyundai dealers, Circus Sports Illinois, United Airlines, and Sitco. When you start with Sitco, you're good to go. Big thanks to our production team of Alan Poppy and Patrick Hennessy handling these last-minute requests for our long postgame show. Our great engineer, Chris DeFlores, keeping us on the air. John Weideman and Charlie Meliotis had the call of Blackhawks and Blue Jackets, a 5-1 loss for the Hawks. They are back at it tomorrow at 5:30. Pregame with Charlie Meliotis, John and Troy after that. Up next is Steve and Johnny. This has been Blackhawks Hockey on 720 WGN.